If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know, after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Football might be over for the season, but basketball is in full steam for both pro and college hoops. From all the latest odds, totals, player performance props, to where the next fired coach is going to land, BetOnline is the number one spot for your sports betting needs. Head over to the website and use your mobile devices to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, to get started. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your source for hockey, boxing, and UFC odds. Right to Olympic coverage, it's the best in the business. From sports right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, BetOnline is your number one online wagering destination. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports and play your favorite games. BetOnline, where the game starts. BetterHelp is accustomed to online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Why invest in everything else and not your mind? This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Eagles Unfiltered listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/eagles. That's BETTERHELP.com/Eagles, EAGLES. Take the time out, get your mental health in the right state of mind, and go to BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month by just listening to this podcast. That's BetterHelp.com/Eagles.
You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one.
I didn't do it.
Hurts. Eating. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
All right, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Eagles Unfiltered. Co-host Connor Miles here with my co-host Ed Kraz. We are powered by betonline.ag. The NBA playoffs are here. It's time to make some money. Head on over to betonline.ag. Use promo code BLEAV, and they will match your initial deposit up to 50% by using promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V. Earn some money during the NBA postseason. Win on betonline.ag. The show is presented by BLEAV Podcast Network, and let's get started because, Ed, Steven Nelson, departed. He actually got a fairly decent deal for where he at is at this point in his career. 2 years, $10 million. That's something the Eagles could have done. They didn't feel obligated to do so. Reason being, probably because they want to go into this draft, I would assume, see what the options are with the picks, how the picks unfold, And they have a ton of confidence, like what you and I keep saying, in guys like Tae Godwin, Zach McPherson, and Kerry Vincent Jr. as well. They're going to want to see at some point what they have on the roster. But to me, this is them saying, we have a ton of draft capital. We have some very young guys on the roster. We signed Steven Nelson, luckily, after the draft when the board didn't go our way, and this is where we had to go with our picks. If we had to sign a guy again, somebody like, I keep saying this, but there's somebody out there like Xavier Rhodes, who's definitely going to sign after the draft. That makes a ton of sense with his ties to Jonathan Gannon. It seems like they're not panicking about cornerback too because of the options that are presenting themselves. Am I correct in thinking that?
Yeah, you know, well, first let me say I'm happy for Steve Nelson. You know, he was only here for a year, but, you know, got to know him, talked to him quite a bit. He came out for, you know, some press conferences, and he was a good guy. And, you know, it was a position opposite Slay that we didn't really complain about a whole lot. So, you know, he did a good job, and it's kind of surprising. Well, I guess I can get it from the Eagles standpoint. I don't think they wanted to go more than 1 year with him. And, you know, I'm not sure they want to go 1 year with anybody that's left on the market, to be honest with you. And Nelson deservedly got a 2-year deal. And listen, this guy, he's been in the playoffs 6 of his 7 years with 3 different teams. You know, that experience goes a long way. And he kind of, I asked him after the first 2 days of the draft, the first 3 rounds last year, and they didn't have a cornerback. I said, you know, what's up with the cornerback spot? And he said, well, you know, there's a bunch of different ways to skin a cat. I'll never forget the answer. And he said, we're not done here yet. And, you know, sure enough, first pick of the 4th round, they take Zach McPherson. But the Eagles always seem to do this, Connor. They, you know, remember they traded for Ronald Darby back in 2017, I think it was.
Minicamp, yep.
During minicamp, like August, they traded away Jordan Matthews to get Ronald Darby from Buffalo. So last year it was Steve Nelson that came late. You know, he signed right before training camp opened in July. So, you know, we could see that approach again if, you know, the first and second rounds go by and the Eagles still haven't taken a quarterback because, like you said, they, you know, they do want to see what they have from Tae Gowan. I'll tell you, Tae Gowan was a guy I liked last year in last year's draft. I have to be honest, coming out of Central Florida, I thought, you know, he could bring some things to this team. I was surprised. I think he went in the 6th round to the Cardinals last year. I thought he'd go higher. But, you know, Tae Gowan and Zach McPherson, a guy he spent a 4th round pick on. So they do want to see what they have in these guys. But, you know, you got to hedge your bets, too. You know, you want to make sure you know, you're pretty confident in what they can do. If you're going to go, you know, through this offseason without signing somebody or through the draft and not drafting anybody, you got to be pretty darn confident that you think you can get something from these 3 guys that you mentioned.
Well, that's why I'm not stressing that because I feel like after the draft, if they don't, let's just say they don't take one in the first 2 days of the draft because of how the board unfolds, because that's how Howie's going to present it. If asked, why didn't you, like you said, there's many different ways to skin a cat. He'll probably say that about a dog this time around, but
I'm a dog guy myself. I got
to tell you. And if he says that, I would have cut the cord after the cat one anyways. If he says dog, it's over, buddy. But that's why I don't understand the panic, though. I can understand wanting to see what you have in these young guys, but there is no way that they would feel comfortable doing that, though. They always add that competition. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like I'm saying with Xavier Rhodes, I know Stephon Gilmore just met with the Colts. It seems like that's going to get wrapped up there, though, with how it's going about. But that's not set in stone yet, and I think he's going to wait after the draft to sign anyways to see what options open up or present themselves to even more, because really for him, I'm trying to get the last big free agent deal I could possibly get. This is probably it for me. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say the Eagles are out of it, but I do think, you know, he's going to price himself out of their market. I just think Xavier Rhodes makes a ton of sense to compete with these guys. I'm not saying he's going to be the answer. Steven Nelson wasn't really brought in to be that guy. They said, you know, we drafted these guys at day 3. He's going to have to compete just like the rest of them. They could do the same thing right again. That's why I'm more relaxed about it, especially when you have all these options in the first round and the 3rd round. I think they're going to go cornerback higher than they did last year anyways with the excess resources or trade up for a guy. I think this is the year that they do so anyways. I'm with you on this board. I think they're finally going to say enough's enough. We brought in a defensive back. Minded defensive coordinator for a reason. When Jim Schwartz is here, it was attack the trenches because that's what his defense was dependent on. Now that Jonathan Gannon's here, it's vice versa. And we're going to, I know what our philosophy is, but we don't have the guys back there right now, and we don't have the long-term guys back there right now. We love Darius, think he has a good couple more years in him, but we don't have the long-term guys back there now. Enough's enough. If Jonathan Gannon's not going to be here much longer, we need him to mold that guy because they clearly have faith. I know what the fans feel about him. I completely get it. It's warranted. But that's not how the people in the building feel. So if they really have this faith that they have in the guy, give him that young stud. Give him that Derek Stanley Jr. Give him that Sauce Gardner. Give him that Trent McDuffie. I know everybody, Eagles fans are big fans of him, but I am. You need to get rid of the Washington Sidney Jones thing out of your head. That kid's a playmaker, just like Buda Baker was and Brian Murphy was at Washington in years past. Or Andrew Booth Jr. Andrew Booth Jr. carry him. Those guys are going to be solid as well. Just get me one of those guys to pair with Jonathan Gannon because you're probably going to have him for one more year. I certainly think he's going to get a head coaching job after this season with how much interest he had around the league. Get him one of those guys now to get ready because, you know, they have to be the future at this position, and very rarely are day three picks. Not all the time are day two picks.
Mm-hmm.
You're more certain with that day one guy.
It's been such a long time since the Eagles picked the cornerback.
Right. You're saying it's like a broken record, but I mean, it's because we want them to make it happen. Everybody does, and they need to. This is the draft to do it.
Yeah, and, you know, the last time they even went second, third, I guess second round was Sidney Jones, you know, and he was, you know, he had that Achilles coming off the Achilles, so he wasn't available right out of the gate. But, you know, it's just – it's a weird dynamic with this quarterback, cornerback position. I mean,
I'd argue, Ed, that the reason why they felt so compelled to take Sidney Jones in the second round is because they really put some serious, serious, serious thought with Joe Douglas and his new mind in the building to taking Sidney Jones in the first round before the injury.
And, you know, they followed it up in the third round and took Rasul Douglas, so they really doubled down at corner there in that draft. And, you know, it turns out that they were pretty good picks. It just wasn't for the Eagles. You know, Jones is still in the league. He's still
– starter for Seattle.
Yeah, and Rasul Douglas, we all saw what he did in Green Bay. I mean, he's been shuffled around a different couple teams, but he had a terrific year last year, parlayed that
that's
into like, a big contract
I'm saying.
With Green Bay. So, I mean, they were good picks. It's just the Eagles didn't – Jim Schwartz and his staff, they didn't develop them correctly.
Right. It takes the right stat. Like, of course, those guys bounced around the league because teams – when Sidney Jones went to Jacksonville, when Rasul Douglas went to – I mean, he went to a bunch of teams. He went to Arizona. He went to Oakland. He went to – so on and so forth, Carolina. When we went to those teams, they were thought as, man, these guys, we cleaned them off waivers. Like, they have to prove themselves to this team. We have guys at this spots already. We picked them up because we like their potential, but nothing's going to be given to them. And all it took was the right systems, because I'm not going to lie, Sidney Jones looks like a starter in Pete Carroll's system, an average starter. Not like what he was in college, but an average starter. But I'll tell you right now, folks, we need to adjust our expectations of what we think about NFL teams, because majority of these all 32 teams are made up of average starters at positions. You're not going to be set having an elite player at 24 positions. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Sidney Jones being an average starter for Seattle, given his age and fitting that Pete Carroll system, the Eagles would love that at cornerback too. I'll tell you that right now. Rasul Douglas hitting his stride in Green Bay system. Joe Barry. It's not a coincidence that the talent finally met. Like, the talent, you have talent, of course, those guys had talent. That's the reason why Sidney Jones went to the second round despite that Achilles injury. That's the reason why Rasul Douglas went third round. Third round's still day two. Once the talent finds the right coaching staff, they look like that. They look like Rasul. They look like they're making game-changing plays. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would have liked, like we keep saying, I've heard people say this multiple times. I've seen people say this multiple times. I would have liked to see. I mean, I was a big Rasul Douglas. I wasn't had much faith in him at all. But I would, you know, honestly, after what he did last year, I would have liked to see what he did with Jonathan Gannon. You know, what did the Eagles really give Jonathan Gannon to work with in the secondary that he specializes in?
I wrote last year during the offseason, right around now, that the Eagles should take a shot at Rasul Douglas. You know, playing in Gannon's defense is different than playing in Schwartz's defense. And I thought Douglas would be a pretty good fit. And, you know, of course they didn't do it, but you know, I believed in Douglas last year. I thought they should have signed him.
I remember
people gave me a hard time, you know, like, oh, he stinks, terrible, terrible guy, you know, but, you know, he certainly proved a lot of people wrong.
Myself included. But
yeah,
I'm not trying to be a Jonathan Gannon apologist. He has his faults. But the whole point of what I'm saying and the whole point of what I was trying to drive home last offseason is you finally brought in a guy who specializes in the area of defense you've been weak at the most for a decade. He got Darius Slay to return to form. Darius Slay was a top three corner last year. I mean, give the guy the talent, like a Darius Slay type talent, and let's see what he can do with it.
Mm-hmm. And listen, Darius Slay's 30, 31 years old, right? He's costing them a bundle. So it's not just finding somebody to start opposite Slay. It's finding somebody to potentially take over for Slay at the end of the season, if they decide to somehow part ways with him or move on from him. I'm not saying they will, but I mean, you know, you have to consider once you start getting north of 30 and your salary is, you know, it's a big salary cap hit, and he's 20 plus million this year and next year. I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous.
I'll be honest though. He probably has the most job security on the Philadelphia Eagles right now.
Yeah, probably. I mean, but that's something you have to think about. It's not only this year, it's long term. And that's what the draft and Howie's mind is all about, is finding guys not just this year. It's for 2-3 years down the road. And that's why I really think they are going to go cornerback in the first round. But it's such a weird, they're in such a weird spot at, you know, kind of in the middle of the draft, 15 and 18. I mean, you know, I think the smart play really for them is to sit tight at 15 and just see how the draft unfolds, because there's such a lack of consensus on who's going to be in the top 10. You know, where are the quarterbacks going to go? How are they going to impact this thing? You know, where's Kyle Hamilton going to go? But just sit tight and see who falls to you at 15. And maybe Stingley does. And I think if Stingley's there, they would probably take him at 15. Or if Jordan Davis is there, they'll take him at 15. Or, you know, if there's a receiver there that they like, they could take him. But, you know, Trent McDuffie is a guy you mentioned earlier, the Washington cornerback. I mean, the thing I like about him, and maybe, you know, I know some Eagles fans don't. I wrote a profile about him. And, you know, again, people, you know, think it was, you know, he's terrible. But, you know, whatever. I think he's a pretty solid player. I mean, he doesn't have the length, which I think the Eagles are looking for. But what he does have is position versatility. I mean, this guy can play a free safety position for you. And let's face it, safety's a need as well for this team. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu still out there looking for a couple-year deal. You know, maybe something develops with him after the draft. But, you know, what McDuffie brings is that their versatility. He can play corner and he can play safety too. And he gives you the bonus of having a little bit of punt return experience on his resume. Not a lot, you know. I think it's 9 or 10 punts he returned at Washington, but it's not a completely foreign you know, job description for him. He knows how to do it, and the Eagles need somebody along those lines too. So, you know, he gives you a lot, and that's what I like about him, is that versatility. You could play him at safety, you can start him at corner, you can move him back to safety, kind of like Avante Maddox did in his rookie year. Like, you can play him at safety, I think, and be fine. And maybe he does play safety if they draft him at 15 or 18 and Tay Gowan or Kerry Vincent or Zach McPherson really shine during camp, then fine. You make one of those guys your starters and play McDuffie back at the safety spot. So, I mean, he gives you that either or positional versatility. And that's what I like about him, to be honest. There are a lot of things not to like about him. I mentioned the length. He's not a big, he's only had 2 interceptions, I think, in his career. He's made a lot of starts. He's had a lot of experience. You know, the Pac-12 isn't exactly, you know, a wide receiver factory where you're playing top talent week in and week out, but he has played some good guys. He mentioned Laviska Shenault as being one of the tougher players he's guarded in college when Shenault was at Colorado. So, I mean, you know, he does have that experience. So, you know, I like that as well about him, but I get reasons not to like him, but I don't think he would be a disaster pick at 15 if the Eagles were to go down that road.
Absolutely not. Yeah. The only thing I hate about that versatility argument with him is it loses the light of how well he plays the cornerback position. I want him as my corner. Mm-hmm. I want him as my outside corner. I'm telling you right now, I compared him to his counterparts for a reason. He plays the defensive back position identically to Byron Murphy. Very familiar to how Buda Baker is utilized. Like, this is the guy that you would want as your corner. I have no issue with him, but you could talk me into any of these top cornerback prospects. This is the year to finally invest in that position because there's so much talent there. A ton of talent that you can capitalize on in the first 2 days of this draft. But he is definitely one of the names. I just think the fear of the Pac-12 and his size is what really deters Eagles fans. Because if you look up his numbers, man, I'm telling you, he's great. He's solid. He's compared to Jaire Alexander for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The guy's going to be great. He's going to be great.
Speed. 4.4, I think. 4.4, 4.40.
Right.
You know, he's got a track background. You know, we've seen the Eagles already dive into the track area with the signing of the wide receiver from where was he from? Oregon, I think.
Devin Allen. Yeah, he's from Oregon. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie to you though.
I'm a hurdler. This guy McDuffie's a former 400 runner. You know, ran track in the 400, so he's got speed.
I'm not gonna lie to you though. I wanted to go back to one of your points. I know we're. This is starting to become the Trent McDuffie podcast, but that Derek Stingley Jr. point, I think it's, I'm going to spoil it now. When we do our 3.0 mock draft, he's my pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my picks.
I think you got to really, really consider it if you're the Eagles. Yeah.
Well, I also think you really have to consider the fact that there is a change in their philosophy if you look from 2020 to 2021, and I think they're going to continue the 2021 trend. They're going to take the proven talent.
Yeah.
I think they want to actually say, hey, this guy, instead of falling in love with the traits, let's fall in love with the production first, and then let's start looking at the traits, because that's something that they were always, I thought, was always something that the Eagles did. And it was, you know, I was actually a fan of it. I was like, that's good, because college systems really can make or break a player, and most of the time they hold them back. I don't think that's the case anymore with how many coaches are evolving and becoming more NFL coaches are going to college. More college coaches are bringing up NFL concepts to their systems. I don't think it's that case anymore. So now the Eagles are kind of shifting their ways to, let's take the guy at the proven production. That Heisman Trophy winner, let's trade up and get him. You know, that guy's going to be a player. Like that Landon Dickerson guy, I don't care he's coming off an ACL. That might be our best offensive lineman in 2 years from now. Let's go up and get him. Let's get him. Let's take him. I know we need corners back bad, and I know we have a really strong interior offensive line, but I'm telling you guys, he's an all-pro. Let's take him. Look at the production. I think they're going to do the same thing here, and that's why I think if I have to take a corner in this draft, I would have to argue, I don't think they get Sauce. I'll tell you right now. I know you said this already, but I don't think it's going to happen. There's no way he makes it past 7. I think they trade up to secure Derek Stingley Jr. or luck into him at 15. That's the guy I think they're going to get for corner, because I think it's going to be the year that they finally do it. I know I got stuck with I'm still with it, Ed, because I don't think it's that crazy out of the realm of possibilities that they go 2 defensive picks with those 2 first round picks. I don't think it's that crazy, but I still think they might be attracted to, like you're saying, Jordan Davis and more importantly, Devontae Wyatt. I think those guys are definitely going to be on the radar, even though I'm preaching that it's finally the year. You have to take that corner. I just don't think it's set in stone to take a wide receiver that other first round pick. I think it's more likely they may take a defensive lineman than a wide receiver and a corner with that other additional pick.
Yeah, you know, listen, I think there's a little depth, maybe a little more depth at the receiver spot, where if you don't get one in the first round, where you've taken one the last 2 years, I don't think it's a good look. If you're Howie saying, yeah, we took 3 receivers in the first round the last 3 years, I don't know if Howie wants to go there, just because of the perception of having to do that. So, you know, I could see them maybe going in the second round. And like I said earlier, I think they're in that weird area where they're at 15, 18. I mean, I could see them staying put at 15 and waiting to see who's there. And maybe Stingley is. Or maybe they do try to trade up, like you said, because last year, remember, they would have taken Horn or Surtain had they kept dropping down the board, or had they been able to get up into that, you know, 7-8 range where they could take one, because they really did like both those guys a whole lot. And now I could see them in this draft saying, we really like Gardner and we really, really like Stingley. And if we're going to get one of those guys, we have to get into the top 10. But they have other needs, and I think they should just stay put at 15 and take whoever is there. and then maybe try to move back a little bit with 18 and then maybe get an Andrew Booth or whoever at that point. But move back, try to get maybe another second, because there's a long gap that they're going to sit and watch players, good players, come off the board between 18 and 51 when they pick again. And this is the kind of draft where there's some depth, where you would like to get back into that second round and make two picks in that second round if you can. And if it means back moving back from 18 back into the, you know, mid to late 20s, then I think they're going to do it to get another second round pick to kind of keep picking guys rather than taking two guys and then sitting on their hands until midway through the second round before they take another guy. They're going to see a lot of good players come off the board. So, you know, that's kind of what I think they're going to do, or try to do, how he's going to try to do, is move back from that 18th pick. Yeah. And move back and take somebody at 15 and just stay there and just take whoever, you know, you think is the best guy. And if you, you know, if it's Davis or if it's Wyatt or if it's McDuffie or if it's Garrett Wilson or whoever you want at that spot, then just let him come to you. Don't go chasing, you know, players. Just stay put. And then you can start chasing a little bit when you move back.
It's a really rock solid point about Patrick Surtain and J.C. Horn. That is incredibly true too. That should be more thought of when talking about this cornerback position if they draft one in the first round this year. That Saints third round pick to me is, I'm using that for ammo to move up and get one of those corners from 15 if I have to. I mean, that's what they did pretty much with the Colts third round pick to get Devontae Smith. I'm doing the same thing here if I feel the need to. I mean, I would feel the need to. I would. Yeah. I'm moving back from 18. I'm with you. I'm moving up from 15 to make sure I get the corner, though. I'll give up that Saints third round pick. That's fine with me. It's basically a high fourth.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll move back from 18 just fine to recoup the losses. But I'm not comfortable sitting at 15 if I'm really lock solid on, which I am, and I believe the Eagles are too, Derek Stingley Jr. and Sauce Gardner. But
yeah, the Jets are at 10, right? Joe Douglas and Howie have that relationship. The Jets do.
They're moving out of that pick.
They want to move out. So that makes a logical landing spot for Philly, just like it was last year. They had to trade with Dallas to make it happen. Listen, if Stingley's still there after the ninth pick of the draft, or even Kyle Hamilton, you know, because who knows where he's going to go. You've seen him all over the place in this draft. But if you have the board set where you have three or four guys that you have top 10 grades on, and one of them still sitting there after the Seahawks pick at number 9, then you're on the phone with Joe and saying, hey, man, can we do something here? And you're right. They could offer that third round pick that they got from the Saints, which is, you know, a comp pick that the Saints picked up, a compensatory pick. But you're right. It is kind of like an early fourth rounder. But still, plenty of value with pick 101. So, yeah, if you want to move up five spots and throw that pick in, that's great. And then maybe 18, maybe you try to move back and try to pick up another second. I mean, it's all well and good to say, yeah, let's trade. But you need two to tango here. And, you know, Howie has this reputation. I'm not sure every GM is going to want to work with him. So, you know, we want him to move around and get more picks and get the better player and this and that. But that's so easier said than done. It's not always easy to do. But I could see them, because of Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman's relationship, moving up to that 10th pick if they see a guy there that they have a top 10 grade on.
Oh, yeah. The Jets are floating around. They want to take Jameson Williams at that pick. They clearly want to trade out. They're talking about players that the Eagles are interested in that pick. To me, that's the huge Raiders smokescreen. Like, let's make a deal. Anyways, yep. Let's move on real quick, because Rodney McLeod officially just signed with the Colts.
Yep.
So he's officially a member of the Indianapolis Colts now. I really appreciate Rodney McLeod and the leader that he was, not only in the city of Philadelphia, but on the field as well.
Absolutely.
Everything he's done off the field, though, from the charities and the foundations, a great person in the community. That's the major loss from this. And not only that, a consistent starter as well for this team. I know he's been out with injuries as well, but, I mean, he was a team captain, a team leader. It was the right move. Investing with him in him going forward.
He broke the team down before a lot of games. He was the guy breaking the team down on the field before in pregame. I mean, he was the guy. And now they don't have that guy. I don't know who's going to be that guy. Maybe Brandon Graham if he's back and healthy.
But I will say, it was time to move on. It was time to give a guy like Marcus Epps a chance. I appreciate everything McLeod has done, though, Super Bowl champion for this team. But I do agree with the move of moving on. Not only that, he's kind of insurance for the Colts right now. He's their third safety. Because they have Julian Blackman, who's their starter, and then Kerry Wells. So, I mean, it's what the NFL told you, what they thought about him right now, is that he's going to be a third safety type guy. Great depth. Third safety is a major role in the defense. Don't get me wrong. Well, I mean, the NFL told you what they clearly think about McCloud at this point. I think the Eagles made the right move. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, listen, they had to decide between him and Harris, right? They couldn't lose two starting safeties. And, you know, Harris's injury history isn't as severe as Rodney's. He's a year younger, so that plays into it. But so they, you know, they flipped the coin. They probably didn't even flip a coin. They knew that it was going to be Anthony Harris that they wanted to bring back. And I think it was the right move. You know, you hate to lose someone like McCloud. I mean, you know, you already lost Brandon Brooks, who came in that free agent class of 2016 when he retired, you know, earlier this offseason. And now you're losing the other valuable member of that free agent crop and Rodney McCloud. And those two guys were huge in helping the Eagles get to the Super Bowl. But yeah, I agree. I think it was time to move on. You know, Rodney's a great person. You hate to lose great people from this team. Brandon Brooks was a great person. And, you know, that goes a long way to winning also, is being a team player, you know, a vocal part of the locker room, someone that guys enjoy being around. And, you know, Rodney was all of that. And that's a great signing, I think, by the Colts, even though Rodney might be kind of at the end of things here. You know, he's a valuable member of a locker room. So, mm-hmm. You know, now you have this. And listen, you mentioned Marcus Epps. I wrote a story about the Eagles possibly taking Daxton Hill, who I love in this draft. I got to be honest, the safety from Michigan.
Oh, we know.
But I was looking at Marcus Epps' numbers, and man, I'm kind of excited to see.
Told you, man.
What
I wrote that article for a reason. 26
years old. Yeah, he just turned 26. He played over 50% of the defensive snaps, seventh on the team in tackles. You know, he had an interception. You know, everybody talks about Jalen Hurts and his growth. I'm kind of excited to see Marcus Epps and how he can grow with this defense. And he played a lot of special teams too. I mean, he was third on the team in special teams tackles, 45% of the special teams. So, you know, he might be the most overlooked Eagle on this roster.
He is. Marcus.
And I was looking at those numbers again when I was researching the safety possibility of Daxton Hill. And I'm like, man, you know, Epps could be the guy here that you could keep in that safety spot for the next couple of years. And you might be able to win a Super Bowl with him.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm not going to go – that's pretty far. I've been preaching from a good bit now since January that he should be considered more as a starter for this team. Second best safety against the run last year behind Jimmy Ward, who is a fantastic member of that 49ers defense.
Yep.
I'm telling you, Marcus Epps is a player for this team for sure. They clearly feel confident about where he is at in his progression to not attack the safety position the way that fans would wish they would.
Yeah.
Anthony Harris is a replaceable player. They know that.
Absolutely.
They know that. He has experience in the scheme. They gave him a backup caliber contract, 1 year, $2.5 million. Like, the reason why he's back with them is because of he knows the scheme. He's good with Jonathan Gannon. He did kind of, from week 9 to the rest of the season, he did kind of step up. He played to above average level. Not only that, I feel like they just know Marcus Epps is going to be a player for this team. They know they want to give him a chance to start. That's why they're not panicking about safety yet. Wish they would come out and say it a little bit more, because I really do think that guy is it. I do think he is the future starter for this team. I don't think Anthony Harris is. I still think they'll draft a safety in this draft. Pair him with a guy like Kirby Joseph. Pair him with a guy like Jalen Petrie. But that's a great two safety combo right there. I'm telling you guys. I'm telling you. Like Ed's saying right now, I'm so glad that he's seen the Marcus Epps light, because I've been there. It's a great journey. Fantastic journey. You guys should all watch it and take that journey with us, because Marcus Epps is really going to be a good player for this team. I'm telling you guys.
Yeah.
But, Ed, real quick. So, to end the episode, we got to get into the wide receivers a little bit, because there is Jeff Mosher dropped that Inside the Birds nugget on the podcast, Inside the Birds, that teams have been inquiring about Jalen Reagor. So, of course, you and I had to use our connection real quick and reach out to people close to Reagor's camp and figure out what those teams were. And we did. And I'm telling you, besides really one team that I don't understand what their reasoning is at all, it is all teams that are would maximize or would like him, you can understand why they would like him. You can understand what they see, they want in him and those in the traits that Jalen Reagor possesses, which is speed, speed, speed. But the Panthers were one of the teams. 49ers makes a ton of sense, especially with this potential Deebo Samuel debacle that's about to go on with paying him. I'm not saying Jalen Reagor is going to replace Deebo Samuel, but I'm just saying that it makes sense to inquire around the league to find some insurance. Matt, it was Washington, which, I mean, I think it makes sense just because they drafted, really, Jalen Reagor was drafted and envisioned to be paired with Carson Wentz's arm. So I guess Washington may feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other team?
Well, I think Dallas is probably, you know, a possibility.
Dallas was the one that
they lost Gallup.
They floated to us, and I thought that was interesting.
Amari Cooper, yeah. Yeah, the Packers, they lost.
Packers, that's what it was.
Chiefs,
Packers.
Lost Tyreek Hill. I mean, you know, there are some teams that could say, hey, you know, maybe he can help us. He's got 2 years left on his contract, right? He's a controllable player at a very cheap price. And, you know, maybe they feel like he can be salvaged, kind of like the Colts thought they could salvage Carson Wentz. And now the Commanders think they can salvage Carson Wentz, and maybe they can. And maybe another team can use Reagor a little more effectively. I don't know. But I think we should clarify, it's not the teams we're calling the Eagles. I was told that the Eagles gave Jalen Reagor's camp permission to go look for a trade. And when you're looking, by the way, we want to get a second-round pick. That's what I was told. So that's going to be hard to do. Let's face it. Nobody's going to give you a second. But it's not teams are calling saying, hey, we want Jalen Reagor. It's Jalen Reagor's people are calling other teams to investigate a trade and seeing what it might take. It's not the Eagles. It's okay. Yeah, sure. Go see. It's kind of like what they did with Fletcher Cox back at the trade deadline. They gave his agent permission to go out and try to find a deal. And, oh, by the way, this is what we want. You know, we want a third or a second round pick or a third round pick. I can't remember what they said. And that didn't materialize. And that's the same with Reagor. They're not picking up the phone and calling Washington and Kansas City and
whoever. No, it's the teams that Carolina have expressed interest
in saying, hey, do you want Jalen Reagor? It's. Yes, and it's probably the agent who's calling these teams because he sees the same thing everybody else can see, is that they may have a need for a receiver, and, you know, does Reagor fit there? I mean, you know, that's really kind of what's happening. It's not Howie burning up the phone lines calling teams. So will it happen? I don't know. If it happens, I think there'll be something during the draft, and maybe it could be for future considerations. You know, maybe a trade him, you know, for something in 2023, maybe a third or a fourth round pick. It's a conditional pick, kind of like they did with Wentz. And if he reaches a certain amount of play time or statistical production, then it climbs up to a third or a second then. But, you know, they're not going to – I would be surprised if they find something before the draft. Mm-hmm. If it's going to happen, I think it's going to happen either during the draft or once camps start to hit and teams start to look at their roster and say, hey, what are we missing here? Maybe we need more depth at receiver. Okay, let's call Philadelphia and see what they'll take for Jalen Reagor. I think that's kind of the way it's going to play out here. And if nothing develops, then, you know, listen, he, you know, he'll give you something this year. I mean, I know fans are very down on him, but, you know, they'll use him. They'll find a way to get Reagor involved, and, you know, no big deal. I mean, they'll just hang on to him. So really, I think the Eagles are in a position of strength with Jalen Reagor. They don't have to part ways with him. So they're going to let a deal come to them that they're happy with. And whether one or not one of those, you know, manifests itself, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
Emphasis on the Dallas one, though, because his camp made it feel more like the four teams were going to could potentially be Green Bay, San Francisco, Carolina, Washington. Dallas seems like it wasn't going to happen at all. At least to me, from the conversations that we were at.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you know, Dallas, they're probably going to draft a receiver somewhere in the draft again to fill that Cooper spot. You know, so, and again, like I said, once teams come out of the draft and they realize, oh, you know, we didn't get the receivers we wanted or whatever, we don't have the depth that we want. Let's see if we can make Reagor our third. you know, or a fourth, whatever. And let's see if we can give Philly something in the 2023 draft with a conditional attachment that if he meets whatever, you know, a fourth goes to a third or a third to a second, whatever you want to say. You know, I would think at that point it'd be a fourth going to a third. But that's kind of how I see it playing out, is that nothing's going to happen before the draft, because teams now are kind of buckled in for the draft, and they want to see exactly what they can do to beef up whatever parts of the roster that need beefing up. And if they come out of the draft and they feel like, oh, we didn't get a receiver, then maybe Rager's in play during the draft or at some point once camps begin, OTAs in May, training camps in July and August. We'll see. And maybe the Eagles try to use him to trade for a cornerback if they don't come out of it with a corner.
Yeah, like Jordan Matthews' ass.
Yeah, like Jordan Matthews was, had more value, but, you know, Rager could certainly be in a deal of some kind for a cornerback in the summertime.
I think you're right. I think during the draft, it actually might be likely. It's not, when we say that they're asking for a second round pick, the considerations that go into it is that dead money. They don't want to take that dead money hit. They prefer not to. It has to be something worth it for them to take that dead money hit, or else they'd rather just keep them on the roster. That is really what it is.
And that's the only reason why. Dead money after June 1st goes down considerably. I think it goes from like 7 point something to 1.8, something like that, after June 1st, if they were to trade him. So that's why it could be kind of like a summertime training camp deal. Once teams start to get a look at what they have, and they think, well, you know, the Eagles will take maybe a fourth and conditional third, or a third with a conditional second, and we'll go get Jalen Rager and he can help us. But the dead money hit post June 1st isn't as harsh as it is prior to June 1st.
It's just the worst kept secret that clearly Rager's camp would like to move on. I don't think the Eagles really mind.
No, but they're not just going to give him away.
They're not going to give him away, and rightfully so.
Right, exactly. Yeah, how he's going to get value, what he perceives as value. Look what he got for Wentz. I mean, you know, I'm still aghast that they got a first-round pick. I know it was a conditional first. It was a second conditional first. But
Indianapolis couldn't, and he had a way better season compared to 2020.
Yeah, I just, you know, so, and look, you know, the trade they made with the Saints. I mean, Mickey Loomis, I don't really know what he's thinking there. I mean, I know it's tried to be explained to different outlets and stuff, but I still don't get it. And so, you know, you're looking That's at funny. GMs like that where you can say, you know, hey, maybe there is a GM out there that we can get something for Rager that we're happy with. I mean, all 32 GMs are rocket scientists. You can find one that you might be able to get something for.
I want to bring this up because you said this, and I want our viewers to hear this too, because I made a TikTok. I wanted to find better ways to promote our content, so I made a TikTok. And I posted our clip of us talking about the Saints and the Eagles trade on there. And I ran a poll and I said, who won the trade? The Saints won that poll. I was like, oh, there's not that many bright people on TikTok. Never mind.
Well,
I can't believe that. Unless the only way that you can explain that.
Entitled to their opinion, whatever. I mean,
right. You know. And everybody is. I completely understand that. But the only way you can justify that for the Saints is if they go up and get the quarterback they want. That's the only way you can justify that for the Saints. They trade up for to get the quarterback that they want.
Or maybe the quarterback falls in their lap at 16, who might not have been there at 18. You know, maybe that's it. I don't get it.
It's possible. It is so possible.
Give up a third, a first next year, a second in 2 years.
It's just like
it was a lot. It was an awful lot. And, you know, again, I'm sure Loomis has his reasons, the GM in New Orleans, but there are GMs out there that you can deal with that will do deals that you may think favorable if you're Howie Roseman.
And real quick, though, to end the show with my one last line on this, the only reason why I don't think the Eagles have a care about what the perception is of them going wide receiver for the third year in a row is because they know the writing's on the wall with the first one. They know it. If you're feeling that relaxed to have an agent approach you and you give them permission to seek, not guarantee it's going to happen. They didn't guarantee it was going to happen. They didn't say anything though about we're going to make the trade happen, but to even feel relaxed enough to let your 2020 first round pick already seek out other opportunities, the writing's on the wall and you know it. So that's why the only reason why I don't care about that is because Quez Watkins has a future for this team for sure. I don't know if it's anything more than wide receiver three, though. They need to get that wide receiver two long term. They need that DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin duo type again for the long haul. Especially if you're when you're trying to figure out the quarterback position. If you can't figure it out this year and you're going a different route next year, you want to have at least the weapons in place to help that guy, that young kid, or that young quarterback you acquire to move along with the pieces in place. That's the only reason why I think it's on the table still. That's the only reason. But like you're saying, there is some depth in this draft. I really think for some reason I can't shake it, and I'm kind of giving away a little bit of my mock draft. I'm still thinking about it, though. But I for some reason, I can't shake the fact that I feel like they like George Pickens a lot. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's really going to – if I would think that he's a candidate if they trade back from 18. But it's possible.
He's one of their top 30 visits. I mean, you know, we've been chronicling this. I mean, I think we've identified 16 of them so far. And, you know, three of the more recent ones have been receivers. George Pickens, one. Jameson Williams is another. And today, which is, Thursday today, Chris Olave from Ohio State. So, you know, yeah, there's a receiver interest. So it wouldn't shock me if they took a receiver. You know,
it shouldn't. It should because their head coach specializes in wide receivers and the defensive coordinator specializes in defensive backs. That's why it should not shock anybody. I'm just saying that.
Right. This is an organization that's been known to shock, obviously.
Right.
You know, Jalen Hurts in the second round.
It shouldn't shock you if they go quarterback.
Kenny Pickett would shock. If Kenny Pickett's at 15 and they took Kenny Pickett, that would qualify as a shocker for me. But again,
like how he did it again.
Yeah, again, this is an organization not prone to shock value. They took Rager over Jefferson. Like I said, they took Hurts in the second round when they signed Wentz. They traded up for Andre Dillard, a player they didn't really have on their, you know, they didn't do a lot of homework on pre-draft. They just traded up because he was considered one of the best tackles. So, you know, nothing's going to shock me in the first round. I just said Pickett would shock me, but – would we really be shocked given the history of shocks that Roseman likes to pull?
He would sit there with the biggest smile on his face and be like, the quarterback factory's back, baby.
Yep. Start without shoveling care in the world. Coal into the – yep. Start firing up that film, baby. Get the factory fired up again.
Because you brought it up and because I feel like acknowledging it, because I feel like some people might feel like I don't acknowledge it enough, the biggest L I've ever taken in my life – biggest, and I will wear it proudly for the rest of my life, was the Jalen Rager draft takes for the pre-draft 2020 Jalen Rager draft takes, because I was on board with that completely. That philosophy of taking him over Justin Jefferson, I was all on board from, and it had nothing to do with Jefferson. Everybody always took it as a slight against Jefferson. I never said anything bad about him. I compared him to Chris Godwin, and that was way too low. But I never said anything bad about him. I always thought the slot receiver was a premium position, but I said the Minnesota Vikings would fit him best because they can utilize him in different spots from the Z to the Y to the X. But that doesn't matter because he would ball for the Eagles. Talent always prevails, and the Eagles messed up, and I messed up. So that is the biggest L I will ever wear proudly in my life for that draft take. That was awful. Awful, Connor.
It happens. James. It happens.
It happens. It does happen for sure, but that was a bad one.
Yeah. Now
I love Jalen Rager, man. I'll tell you right now. Friends with the guy, love his dad, great family. They give us info whenever we ask. But damn, that was a bad take on my part. And I think he's going to be, I will say this, and everybody will disagree with this. He does not fit this offense whatsoever. His traits don't. I know he's dropped the pass. I know he's dropped passes. I know he's pisses everybody off. Everybody wants nothing to do with him anymore. But he does have traits still, and they do show up on the all 22. And I guarantee you, you guys don't watch all 22 as much as I do. If you think otherwise, I'm promise you, his routes are ugly sometimes. He still needs to develop as a route runner, but he does get open. He does get open. I think it's a mix of not being able to trust him, and then a mix of the quarterback not even looking his way because he's locked on some other reads, which are understandably so. And then the quarterback not be able to get the ball there because the guy is a deep threat receiver. That's all he's going to be, I think, at this point. He would benefit more in a deep threat offense. If he goes to the Packers, I'm telling you right now, he's going to be a good player for them. He's going to be like Rasul Douglas. He's going to fit that offense, and he's going to be some type of a player for them, more than he ever was for the Eagles, that's for sure. I do think there's still hope for his talent. So I just want to say that because I know his family listens to this show. I don't want to make it sound like I'm bashing him. I do appreciate the relationships with all of them. It's not going to work in Philadelphia. Like I told them multiple times, it's never going to work here. I told his dad, I compared his dad's career. His dad was drafted in Denver, never really amounted much in Denver. He had to go to Indianapolis to find his role. I said the same thing to him. I said, that's exactly what's happening to your son. So we'll see. Again, I'll proudly wear that L too if it comes to that. But I do think he has skills that can translate to the NFL level. I do think he can be a player in this league. I just don't think he'll ever be in Philadelphia. I don't think he'll ever fit the offense they're trying to run or make. And even if it changes it with a different type of quarterback, it's the damage is done. Philly's too much in his head. It's never going to work.
I'll give Jalen credit on this. I mean, he's certainly not Ben Simmons, who went into hiding and, you know, refused to take the court. And, you know, Jalen was given a rough ride at the end of last season by the fans. And, you know, I don't think he'll turtle like Ben Simmons did. You know, I think he's mentally tougher than Ben Simmons. And you'll see Jalen Reagor, if he's on this team, he'll be out there. And he'll try to make plays whenever he can for this team. Whenever they're available to him, he'll try to make them. But, you know, I don't foresee him saying, hey, I can't come back. I'm afraid of the fan base, kind of like Ben Simmons did with the Sixers. So I give Jalen credit in that regard. You know, like you said, he was raised well. He's got a good family. And, you know, I think that's reflective of that.
That's a good point. That's a good point about, you know, he's not like Philadelphia kills him, but I mean, at least we can at least say he's still going to war for them. Nice. I know there's a lot of negatives in his play, so you would prefer maybe not him not to, but I think that should be said at the end of the day. You know, for all the crap that the guy has been given, he's never put the helmet down. So, and unlike a guy that they got a max contract from Philadelphia did. Anyways,
yep.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll be back very, very soon. We wanted to make the episode around the 30, 35 minute mark, but again, I haven't seen that in like 9 days. It's been a while. We had to really chat it up real quick. Again, we'll be back soon, guys. The draft is 2 weeks away. Let's go. See you soon.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.